But no, it's great to be here with you guys. We had a great conversation on Wednesday night, didn't we? I thought it was pretty awesome Wednesday night, man. We had a lot of testimony, a lot of good word that came forth on Wednesday night. Something to really give you to chew on, to think about throughout your week. You know, so I thought that was pretty awesome. One thing that we know for sure, well, that we're learning, is that we can't do the work. We cannot do the work. And a lot of times we go, sure, I'm not going to do the work. God's going to do the work. But then here we go putting our hands right in there. So the Lord is showing us now how much we interfere in what he has planned for us. And we're learning to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. That's what we have to learn as believers. So I wanted to read something to you before I went into what I really wanted to go into. But this 1 Peter chapter 1, it's great. It's a great chapter. It's not a long chapter at all. But I want to read a few things from there just to kick things off. Starting in verse 3, it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of the dead." So his abundant mercy. On Wednesday night, we talked about, and on Monday night, also we talked about how powerful love is, because PK has been talking about being purged. Pastor Brian Heron has been talking about being purged. And you look at the love that God has for us in order for him to do this job in us. Because we think that we have to come to God in a certain kind of way. Well, I can't really come until I get these thoughts cleaned up. Or I have to do this, or I have to do that. The only thing that we have to do is what Jesus told to the disciples, is follow me. As we follow, we learn how to believe. And it increases in us. That's our job, to stand still until he say move. If he doesn't say move, we don't move. So we're very fortunate because we have Jesus Christ to look unto. We have the living word of God that's being preached to us, given to us. You believe that. That's what we're being given. But the enemy tries to work against us in our mind and make us remember all of the other things from the past. And if we allow it and we give ourselves to it, we can forget about the living word of God that's being given to us. And we don't want to do that. God did not say, look at your enemy. God did not say, follow your enemies, trust your enemies, conversate with your enemies. We have nothing to do with them until the Lord manifests those hidden things of darkness and says, now we're going to take this one out. And if God don't show it to us, we don't worry about it. No matter what's there, if God isn't dealing with it, we walk in the light as he is in the light, because we are children of the light. That is who we are. So we can't be deceived by these enemies that rise up in us. We have to be just like Jesus Christ. I think Pastor Brian was talking about that during the conference, where he says how the Pharisees come to Jesus Christ, and he's like, and they try to convince him of sin. He's like, you don't have anything in me, man. Nothing in me. And that's the same way that we have to think when these enemies come to us. What am I doing talking to you for? I'm a child of God. I'm a son of God. I'm a daughter of God. I've been given this living word to meditate on, to think on, to testify about. And that's one of the things we were talking about this morning. When the children of Israel were rescued from Egypt, and although they had all the doubt and unbelief in their heart, they didn't believe Moses, they didn't believe God, but when they saw the mighty work that God did in them, they sang a song to God. They sang a song to God. So sometimes We do the same thing. We could go through something in this life, and the word of God will come through, and it'll heal us, and we're rejoicing, and we're so happy that that word was preached to us, taught to us, and we sing, whether it's inwardly or outwardly, because we have so much joy in what God's done for us. But the mistake that we made, that we're learning not to make, is forgetting what he did. Because the enemy will come and say, well, that was a long time ago. What about today? And we have to keep in remembrance the mighty works that God has done in our life, what he's brought us out of, what he's taken us to, this promised land, the Holy Ghost, those things we can't forget. We have to keep one another in remembrance of that light. Because if we keep thinking about the past, then we're looking back. And we know what happened to Lot's wife. Where God took Lot and his family out of Sodom and Gomorrah and said, don't look back. Don't look back. I'm going to destroy these enemies. I'm going to judge them. And Lot's wife looked back and turned into a pillar of salt. So we don't want to have any worldly sorrow, any of those things. As God is taking care of these enemies that work against us, we don't go, man, I remember last year I was so worried about so many things. I wonder what happened to those. Leave them alone. Leave them alone and learn to walk in the peace that God is delivering to us. Amen? I did not mean to go on that. Verse 4, to an inheritance incorruptible. This inheritance that we are being given, delivered, is incorruptible. No corruption. And undefiled, and it fadeth not away. What happened to the children of Israel? Did that song fade away? This word that we're being given does not fade away. We have to know that within our hearts. No matter what we go through, God has us. And we don't just say it, we believe it within our heart that he goes before us and he's behind me. So if God is surrounding me, what can my enemies do against me? Nothing. Unless I don't trust God and say, let me go take care of these enemies. That's when we lose. That's when the children of Israel lost, when they tried to do it themselves. So this is reserved in heaven for you. This is just such a cool chapter, man. But this place that's reserved in heaven for us, because we are children of God, so that means we have access into heaven, right? The enemy doesn't. Because in Revelation 12, when there was a war in heaven, and Michael and his angels fought against the dragon and his angels, the dragon was kicked out of heaven. And what's the next part to say? Man, they had no more place found in heaven for them. No more. So what does that mean? The enemy knows that you have a place in heaven. So if it can get us caught up and drawn away from the things of God, because it doesn't want us to have access back into that place. So it works very, very hard to come against the children of God. So you see how precious we are and how precious the word of God that he gave us, because it's our entrance back home. It's our ticket back home. And the enemy knows it and he hates it. He hates it. So, who are kept by the power of God through faith until salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you be in heaviness. So did he not prepare us before he said, you're going to go through some things? So we can't forget that part, right? That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than that of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love. Having not seen, you love. Jesus Christ, what did he say? Blessed are they which have not seen and believe. How precious is that? How precious is our belief in Jesus Christ? It's very precious. And we have to hold on to that with everything that we got. Everything that we got. Though now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of the glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. So this isn't about us as far as our name, but it's about the salvation of the souls of God. Because it does say that God said all souls are mine, are mine. And we sometimes in our arrogance like to say, this is my body. This is me. I do what I want. I go where I want to go. And we don't realize what's actually taking place. Because if we're children of God, that means that we are no longer our own. Because we've been bought with a price. So now if the Lord has redeemed us by his precious blood, who are we? We're his. We belong to him. And because we belong to him, we have to walk accordingly. Those old things got to pass away. And those new things have to come forth. That's a part of the deal. That's a part of the deal. So we don't want to hear the word of God, hear this life that's being delivered to us, and never change. We don't want to do that. We want to allow the Lord to change our thoughts. We want to allow the Lord to change our heart, because he changes us from having a nature of the man of sin that's corruptible, that's easily manipulated by the mind, to being a son or a daughter in God that stands still and see the salvation of the Lord. It's a complete game changer. Because now we begin to know who we are in Jesus Christ. I think Seth said it about the, we're here with God in Christ. We want to know who that is, who that is. It was so cool when Pastor Keith was talking in the conference and he told us about the vision that he had, that he was doing the works of God, but in Jesus Christ. In Jesus Christ, that he knew that if he wasn't in Jesus Christ, he couldn't do those works. So that was so cool to me, that we have to be in him. So when we say, I'm a believer, I'm a son of God, I'm a daughter of God, I'm a part of the body of Christ, that means we're in him. We're in him. And so we cannot carry those same thoughts that we were delivered from in that body, in that uncorruptible body. We have to be changed. We have to fight. We have to fight against those enemies that come up against us so often and tripped us up, and we easily fell for it. We easily fell for it. And then we go into condemnation. Oh, my God, I can't believe I did it again. Can't believe I did it again. You know what I mean? Those days are coming to an end. Coming to an end. When they present themselves, we go, nope. That's it. No, why are you here? Why are these thoughts coming against me? Oh, my God, not again. Nope. Not dealing with it. What was the word of the Lord that was delivered to us? That's what we think about. That's what we think about. Because we cannot do the work. We read John chapter 6, verses 28 and 29 so much, not realizing that we still sometimes continue to do it, right? You guys know the scripture, or do we have to go there? We'll go there. Verse 28, Then they said unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? Isn't that how we think sometimes? When sin is, hey, you know, the Lord is going after certain things, and we go, what can I do? Can I study some scripture? Yeah, I think I'm going to study some scriptures about that thing. I'm going to get this thing whipped. I think I'll log on to the website, and I'll listen to that word, and then I'll do it. Not realizing that we're interfering, that's not what he's saying at all. What he's saying is, Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he has sent. That was it. That was it. But sometimes our minds can be so busy and we think it got to be something else. It got to be something else. No, just believe. Just believe on Jesus Christ. Believe on the living word of God that's being delivered to us, because he's going to do all the work. He's going to do all of the work. So we follow and we believe and we watch the salvation of the Lord take place for us. And it'll begin to end the frustration of why didn't it work? Why didn't it work? Well, we have to put our hands behind our back and trust him and learn not to put our hands in it. It was so cool when the elders were talking about this. And, you know, God will allow you to examine yourself in truth, to come to a real place in your heart. You know, and, man, he'll show you, like, I put my hands to a lot of stuff that I didn't think I was. Thank you, Lord. And it's no condemnation in it, because you didn't know that you were doing it before. So now you learn how to stop, right? We learn how to believe and trust in the word that's being given to us. Awesome. Anybody got any questions or comments before we continue? All right, let's go to John chapter 15, starting in verse 1. And we read this on Wednesday night, and I know I read a lot. But I love the fact that I didn't have to go and do some special thing in order for God to say, come home to follow me. You didn't have to go and do some special thing for him to say, I'm going to send my son and I'm going to remember you or put you back in the body of Christ. We didn't do none of that. Nobody can take credit for what you did to be brought back into the body of Christ. Does that make sense? Yes. And I think that is so humbling. We didn't have to clean ourselves up in order for God to go, okay, now go get him. Right? Because, I mean, look at the Apostle Paul was proof of that. When he was right in the midst of going after folks, the Lord appeared unto him. So sometimes we think that we got to do certain things in order for God to do things for us, and that's just not true. It is not true, man. 15:1, it says, I am the true vine. Jesus is the true vine. And my Father is the husbandman. The Father is the husbandman. He's laying out the order for us so we don't get it confused. Because we like getting things confused sometimes and doing things that he didn't tell us to do. So if we know the order within us, then we'll stay in our place, really. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he takes away. And every branch that beareth fruit, who purges it? Who purges it, Laura? No, did you say Laura? I thought you said Laura. Oh. That was funny. The Lord does it. The Lord does it. And we had a great conversation on Monday night about that, because we still think that we're supposed to be involved in this other than being remembered back to the body of Christ and letting God do the work in us. Every branch in me that beareth fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now are you clean through what you did. Now you're clean through how much you studied. Now you're clean through how many good works you did. No. It says, now you are clean through the words that I have spoken unto you, that Jesus has spoken unto us. That's how we're being made clean. When we hear the word that's taught or preached, and that gospel come to you, and it pricks your heart, and it causes you to consider some things you never had to consider before, and for the first time in your life, you have the strength to depart that darkness and to allow repentance to work in your life, that you completely turn from it and turn to God and allow him to establish your ways, different ball game. Different ball game. Now are you clean through the words which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me and I in you. So as long as we're abiding in him, he's going to abide in us, right? As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can you, except you abide in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Without Jesus, we cannot do the works of God. We can't do nothing. But with him, we can do all things. All things through Christ, which strengthen us. Another one of Seth's scriptures he likes to go to. But it is very true. As we're in Christ, as we're in this living word, all things are possible, man. All things are possible. But when we take it upon ourselves and we try to do it, that's where we mess up. Every time, huh? Jesus, let me give you a hand. No. You don't need to do anything but believe. And I tell you, for me, in my journey, and I'm far from perfect, but thinking that you have to do something was, or you didn't have to do anything, was a strange thought. Like, I mean, Seth told me that like 15 years ago or more. We were at work and I was struggling with some thoughts. And I was like, basically, what do I have to do to work the works of God? Pretty much. And Seth looked at me with that smile he got right there, made me so mad. He said, all you got to do is believe. It got to be something else, man. And stop smiling at me. It has to be something else. I'm telling you, God is powerful, man. Look at what he's done for us. Look at how far he's brought us. From thinking, man, it got to be something else besides just believing. It got to be something else that I could just tweak a little bit. No. We'll never get credit for the works of God. Never, ever, ever. It's all his. It's all his. And we're learning that more and more. Amen? All right, let's go to one more scripture. You guys probably already know which one it is. Matthew 11, verse 28. It says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. We are so labor-minded when it comes to God, huh? We're like, I heard what Ernest said, but I'm telling you it got to be something. It has to be something that I can labor in to get. Nope. All we have to do is believe. So Jesus is saying, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. I will take every thought that is burdening your mind, that is weighing you down, that is stopping you from walking forward in truth. I will take them all if you come to me and just put them down, and I'll give you rest. He'll give you rest. So if you've been troubled in your mind and your thoughts, give it to Jesus. Give it to Jesus. It's a real thing. It's very powerful. Try the Lord. Try the Lord. A lot of times we have in our thoughts, well, I did this and I did that. Try the Lord. Try the Lord. Free your thoughts of anything you think is burdening you and just leave them alone and just focus on the Word of God and see if He's not telling you the truth. So it says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. So now we're not learning about the things of the world, the love of the world, all of these things that we're getting bogged down by. We're learning about Jesus Christ, the life of Jesus Christ, the sayings of Jesus Christ. I mean, that was powerful when Pastor Dan preached that, about the sayings of Jesus Christ. And we get to hear and to read the mind of our Lord and Savior, where He begins to become more than just a man to us, because now we're focusing on Him and not on everything else in the world that kept us separated. We're focusing on Him. And that was pretty cool to have a thought like that introduced, to learn about the sayings of Jesus. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is understanding. My burden is enlightening. My burden will release the captives. It'll make you free. It'll make you whole. It'll return you back to heaven as a son and daughter of God. It's some cool stuff, man. What we're being given, the opportunity that we're being given to finally give up the things that have been taken away from us for so long, the things that we wonder why was there, and now the Lord is offering us a way of escape out of that place. That is so cool that He chose us, whether you're online or whether you're present, to hear His word and to be delivered from that, and to have an opportunity to allow Him to break the curses that worked in us for so long. Curses that worked in generations is what we're being given an opportunity to do. So this purging that the elders are teaching, it is powerful. It is powerful, and it's not for us to do. It's just for us to participate in and us to watch God work, and we'll give God the glory in it. We give Him the glory in it. And as a loving father, He cleans up His kids and welcomes us home. I think that's pretty amazing. Cool stuff. Anybody got any comments or questions before we get out of here? PK. Oh, snap. Say again? No, PK is priority. Okay, PK.
Can you hear me okay?
Yes, sir.
Hey, you did. I mean, it was great. You brought some things to mind, and but what I want to just say this in front of the whole congregation, they're in good hands, and I appreciate it. And the other thing is, Claudette is doing well. The doctor just left. In fact, when you started service, the doctor walked in. And he spoke some good things to us and some good things to her. And there's been a big change in all the stuff that was going on with her. We're not going to talk about it now. I'll let her give her own testimony about what was actually done. But pretty bad shape, but the doc rectified everything, got everything good. Yeah. And so that was very good. And you know what? He's proud of his work. So it's really good. So But I'm just so appreciative. And so she's sitting up right now, which she couldn't do for a long time. She's been bedridden, taking meds and whatever. But God is blessing us, and we hope to see all of you soon. We love all of you. We miss you. But like I said, you're in good hands. I appreciate everything that was said today. And it was encouraging. It was encouraging to me. So I just wanted to let you all know that. Hey, just continue to pray for us and be blessed, guys. And thanks, Ernest. Appreciate you much, man.
Thank you, PK. That was awesome. We're so glad to hear that Claudette is doing great. We needed that. We needed that. Anybody else got any comments, questions? Oh, Tim.
Yes, I was thinking what you were talking earlier. It's like reminding me of something that Rick taught me a long time ago. Is he was getting ready to go back to Chicago, and he walked up to me and he told me, he says, I want you to keep track of your thoughts. Pay attention to your thoughts. He came back like 6 months later, and he had a smirk on his face as he started talking to me. So how'd it go? I said, you know, I couldn't believe how easy these thoughts are. He says, did I ask you to judge those thoughts? No, you did not. I said, did I ask you to categorize this? I said, no. Did I ask you to do anything else? But just keep Jesus. It's just how subtle your own mind thinks. I was proud of what I had done. I mean, I was showing him these horrible thoughts that I had in my mind. He says, I didn't ask you to do that. The Lord isn't asking you to do that either. He's not asking you to keep track. He's not trying to help you set the wheats and the tares. Use the example of the wheats and the tares. He isn't asking you to do any of that. Be aware of where your thoughts are, but don't try to wrestle with them or try to separate them. You belong here, you belong. Because you don't know if that tare you've deemed as evil is something God's working on, and he's going to make something beautiful out of it.
Right on. That's perfect. It aligns exactly what we were talking about, because who's going to do the reaping? The angels. The angels. So the angels, which are those ministering spirits, man, they do everything that God needs to be done. All we have to be is obedient and believe the word of God when it comes to us. I'm telling you, it's funny to me now on how hard it is or was to initially just not touch it. Just leave it alone and let God take care of it. We're learning more and more every day, huh? Anybody else? We good to go?
I liked how you say it, Ernest, that you know how sometimes we want to put our hands in it, but us putting our hands in it can be also because we want the Lord to work faster. And we're not wanting to wait and to learn from what he's trying to teach us. So we feel like if we put our hands in it, he's going to work faster for us or something. And he's like, no, you guys haven't learned from what I'm trying to teach you. So if you wait on me and you learn, then that'll be removed or whatever needs to be done. But it needs to be exercised. If not, we will stay in it. And we think we did it and, ooh, it's gone. And then here it comes again. And then it goes deeper and deeper and deeper because we tend to put our hands in it when God is just saying, believe.
Yep. 100%. Perfect, man. Great example of the children of Israel that we were talking about this morning when the Lord was leading them out of Egypt. And when they got to the Red Sea, and Pharaoh and all the Egyptians kind of encamped them, kind of had them, so they thought. And they went to crap in their minds. They just wanted to go back and be slaves. It'll be easier being in bondage. Can you imagine that? Think about how you thought a few years ago, and to be in bondage to that? No, man, no. They had to stand there and watch God work. They had to stand there and watch the man of God work. And then once he brought them through and he took care of all of those enemies his way, then they gave God the glory. Same thing with us. We have to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. No matter how we think it should work out, leave it alone. Pray about it, trust God, and let him bring us to that expected end.